Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. We're commanded by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. God's news behind the news. What is the perspective? What is God saying to us today? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, and so much more. Listen, we have so much more to share with you. We're going to be sharing with you in this hour. If you missed the first one, listen, we had the uncle of the two suspects, one that's been shot this morning, one that's being surrounded, that we understand, testifying about these two suspects, and you got to hear it in the first hour, and so much more. How Russia appears to be in a partnership now with Washington, with the executive branch, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening, why would you do that? And prophetically, that's the bear that comes down on top of Israel and tries to harm Israel. Yes, listen, God's letting us know not to be terrified, but to be prepared, to stand up for what's right. Don't throw away this gift God's given us called America. Stand up for God and country. Read the Constitution. Read the Bible. Join us in the original tent of God for the church and the original tent of God for this nation. And you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And a few, John Ramos. And we're in the extra hour here. We were just talking about, and if you missed it, the interview with the uncle of the two suspects just this morning. I believe CBN News, or CBS News, and it was just a powerful, powerful, I mean, who knows better than family about people's journey and their character and the things that are taking place. And then we were talking about, you know, how is Russia, because they're Russian immigrants that came over because of war, and these two are, and obviously their family is too, but their family's not taking the same route that these two have taken. They chose not to integrate in America. They chose not to learn the language in America, according to their uncle. He called them illiterate in regards to English, which had been easier for them because, you know, one of them was seven when they got here. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, President Putin, the president of Russia, is sending his sympathy to America when these two Russian immigrants, who their uncle says they came to them and said, listen, we are now involved in Islam, and they started talking jihad with him. And he's like, what are you doing? Islam's always been around. What are you, just be, come over here and do.
Go to work, be good, get a job, go to school, right. You know, take it. That's not what we came here for.
He's like, don't blow this deal. This is a good country. Remember, it was war that got us here. And so be careful not putting people, just because that, you know, their family doesn't mean that they agree with their family members. Mm-hmm. Also, just because they're Russian does not mean that every Russian is this way. We're just talking about these two particular Russian suspects who uncle says they were Islamic, and we're talking jihad with him. And then, Vladimir Putin, sends his condolences, and it just, this eerie feeling came over me because the president of Afghanistan same time sent his, all these folks that spoke against us now are friends of our executive branch, and they are, which is the enforcer branch, by the way. Mm. And they're saying, and now we're finding out that when you go back and look at the Democratic National Convention, which are Americans, not political party, but they're gathered together at the Democratic National Conventions, you can see this on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. That, and by the way, anytime you're searching for the Torch in Google or anything, just type in VFN, that's V Victor, VFN Torch, in any topic that you want, and you'll also get it that way as well. Mm. But understand that you'll hear in the first hour, you'll hear them booing God. They had God out of the Democratic, the present party that's in control of America pulled God out of their platform. They didn't want God to be mentioned in their platform. They tried to vote him back in again, and by a Methodist minister who stood up and said, you know, this is not right, we want to bring God in here. Then they said, took a vote, and what you do is all the yays and the nays, you have this huge room of delegates that are there, And what you'll hear in the first hour is the first two times, all three times actually, they had more no's for God than they had yes for God. But they just went ahead and pushed it through and just said it. And then all of a sudden, it was on the teleprompter, right?
He had to say it.
Yeah.
You know, he had to say it.
Right.
He was told to say it.
He was told to say it. And then, you can put stuff on teleprompter and I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Exactly.
He's a mayor. He could have chose what he wanted to do. So then, they begin to boo the decision that was forced on them, saying basically, we don't want God in there. And then you'll see an Arab American Democrat stand up and begin to just boo, boo. And then they turn the camera like this look, and you'll see this on the top. And the reason why I know that they're Arab American Democrats, because they have a big sign they're holding that says Arab American Democrats, you know, and they point that camera at that poor minister and take his picture. Like, why you want my picture?
Mm-hmm.
Why you want my picture? I'm a Democrat too. Don't, you know, let's get along here. And it was just amazing. Now we're looking at while this is all going on at the Democrat National Convention, there's this big, huge picture behind them of a Navy fleet of ships. I mean, you understand, everything that's done in a political campaign is thought through. The background, the way it looks, the songs, the colors, the clothes, the photos, and all this. And let me tell you, because what you'll hear in the first hour, too, you'll hear our president saying to the current president of Russia at that time that he was going to transmit a message to Vladimir Putin that the president was in here saying, listen, I have an election going on, but I'll have a lot more flexibility after the election. But get this now, put all this together. Behind them when they were having the Democratic National Convention was a big Navy fleet. I mean, the picture may be 50 feet, 40 feet wide. It was just huge. It's the scene.
Mm-hmm.
That is reportedly the Russian, and I remember even Joe, MSNBC, Joe Scarborough talking about, you know, his comments towards that particular thing. But that was President Putin's, you know, Vladimir Putin's Navy.
Mm.
And understand this prophetically, that Russia is the bear that comes down on top of Israel. So this you're running for the commander in chief of America and the United States Navy, not the Russian Navy. You're not over the Russian Navy. I mean, that's sending a message out, it looks like. I don't know. But then we go, our president comes over into Israel and begins to give the speech that is, if you hear us give the speech, we're thinking this is great until he gets to the end of it. We find out he shakes his fist in face of Jacob and God over there. But the interesting thing that happened, though, just like he had the Russian military up behind them when they spoke, when they got to the Israel, they switched the protective limousine of America and got into a Jordanian limousine, I believe it was. It was not an American limousine to protect him because they put the wrong gas in the car.
Right.
It's like, are you going to be in Navy ships for America? Or are you going to be in Navy ships for Russia? I mean, what boat are we in here? Mm. And it's like, listen to me, church. If you have not yet, and we're going to hear in just a little bit, you're going to hear about Hitler and God, the study that was done on him and how he progressed to power, political power.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make a lot of sense to you. And he befriended the church. He was a choir boy. He befriended the church because you had to have a vote. He had to vote him in, right?
Right.
And so, but once he did that, he came down and literally began to try to destroy JJ, the Jews and Jesus, the Christians and the Jews, and he wanted every one of them destroyed. You had the ghettos, you had the trains, you had the camps, you had the ovens, you had the Holocaust situation that was going on with 6 million Jews being killed. You had Christians that were being killed. You're going to hear that in a moment, and it's going to put two and two together. Realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And we need to turn our hearts to God and repent and humble ourselves, because God will defeat the enemy if we turn our hearts back to God. But if we boo God and we don't want God in our platform and in our workplace and in our marriages and our families, listen, God will honor that and pull back and let the whole darkness come in on us till we'll be grateful, by the way, if somebody just gives us a kind look and a candy bar.
Right.
So listen to me. This is so important. This is why VFN Radio is here. So we can tell you the biblical, prophetic perspective of what's going on right now. And in that, they began to destroy. Oh, you got to hear it. You just got to hear it. We're gonna go to a break in just a moment. We have time before break. You got to hear this. You've got to hear this. This is why we need to pay attention, because of what's taking place in regards to what's taking place in regards to what it looks similar to, just like. And you have to understand this. You have to understand. I give you context that Hitler was a man, just like any other man. And so was Judas, right?
Yeah.
And he was amongst the disciples, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, Satan entered Judas. You remember that day that he took the bread?
Sure did.
And obviously, at some point, Satan just entered this man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Judas. And that's how that happens. But when you look at Iran today and President Ahmadinejad, it's the same spirit that was on that entered Hitler has entered Ahmadinejad, and that spirit of leadership there. It's the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Why are you going to talk about killing the Jews and the Christians? What's up with that? It's satanic. It's the devil. Anybody that's serving God, they want to destroy. That's just the whole thing. If you let them get into power, that's what's going to happen. If you vote them into power and boo God, it's like you're like fueling this whole thing. I mean, I don't know if there's been a generation that's done what is taking place right now, but listen to this progression. Listen to this progression of this story and history of, and it's short, of Hitler and God. It may ring some bells with you.
Mm.
His speeches were filled with hope. He says, I'm going to restore the glory.
In his speeches, he challenged people to love their neighbors, to care for the poor and sick, and to take a stand against violence.
He also said, I believe today that I'm acting in the sense of the Almighty Creator.
In public, Adolf Hitler often referred to himself as a follower of Christ. Even today, many people believe that the Holocaust was carried out in the name of Christianity. But what was the real relationship between God and Hitler?
Adolf Hitler was the nastiest, most hate-filled, wicked man almost in history. And to say that he was a Christian is to be either tremendously ignorant or to be disingenuous.
As a child, Adolf Hitler was baptized into the Catholic Church. He was an altar boy, and at one point, he even wanted to become a priest. But as history would later show, a church member and a Christian are two different things.
At the beginning of his political career, Adolf Hitler was a baby kisser, believe it or not. Even nowadays, if you want to get anywhere as a politician, you flavor your language and your speeches with maybe a Bible verse here and there, maybe have your picture taken with a robed minister outside his church on a Sunday, show up at a prayer breakfast and say something about God. And once you're in your place of political authority, then you can let your real agenda come out. And that's exactly what Hitler did.
From his earliest speeches, Hitler invoked God, a smart political move in the mostly Christian nation of Germany. One of his most public shows of solidarity with the church was the signing of the Nazi-Vatican Concordat in 1933.
That pact was that the Catholic Church would support Adolf Hitler politically, and Hitler would make sure they had freedom of religion. Hitler in 1933 said wonderful things about Christianity. He even said he hated atheism and wanted to get rid of it in the country. So Hitler was truly a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he did pull the wool over the Catholic Church.
So if Hitler wasn't a Christian, why did he go to so much trouble to win the support of the church? As one writer put it, he knew Christians would interfere with his plans if they weren't hoodwinked first.
What you won't hear in history class is that Hitler wasn't just out to eliminate the Jews. He wanted to get rid of Christianity as well. Hitler youth leader Baldur von Schirach admitted the destruction of Christianity was explicitly recognized as a purpose of the National Socialist movement. And here's Nazi leader Alfred Rosenberg, a member of Hitler's inner circle.
I am absolutely clear in my own mind, and I think I can speak for the Führer as well, that both the Catholic and Protestant churches must vanish from the life of our people.
In 1933, the German economy was in free fall, with unemployment over 30%. Germany was a nation in need of a savior, and Adolf Hitler decided that he would be the one to fill that role. As Hitler grew more powerful, his religious tolerance disappeared, and he tried to replace Christianity with a new Reich Church, a religion in which there was no God but Hitler.
I think after a while, Hitler begins to believe in Hitler.
Hitler set up a very horrible antichrist system disguised as a Christian church.
His fellow Nazis were only too happy to embrace the Führer as Germany's messiah.
It is only on one or two exceptional points that Christ and Hitler stand comparison, for Hitler is far too big a man to be compared with one so petty. Our Führer is the intermediary between his people and the throne of God. Everything the Führer utters is religion in the highest sense.
And since every religion needs a house of worship, Hitler developed a 30-point plan for the new National Reich Church. It was even published in the New York Times in 1942. Among the rules, no pastors, chaplains, or priests were allowed to speak in church. Only National Reich orators. All Bibles and pictures of saints were removed from the church altars and replaced with copies of Mein Kampf. The cross was also removed and replaced with the swastika.
One of the most controversial Reich Church rules involved the Bible. Although Hitler quoted scripture in many of his early speeches, he later referred to it as a fairy tale invented by the Jews. And in 1942, the Bible became a banned book in Germany.
Adolf Hitler hated the Bible. He had his own Bible printed, 100,000 copies. There are some copies still around, but many of them were destroyed by people who realized what Hitler had done.
In Hitler's Bible, all Hebrew words, like hallelujah, were removed. He also replaced the Ten Commandments with 12 of his own. Among them, keep the blood pure and your honor holy. Maintain and multiply the heritage of your forefathers. Joyously serve the people with work and sacrifice. Honor your Führer and master. Hitler also wrote his own version of the Lord's Prayer to be recited by the Hitler Youth.
Adolf Hitler, you are our great Führer. Thy name makes the enemy tremble. Thy Third Reich comes, thy will alone is law upon the earth. Let us hear daily thy voice. And order us by thy leadership, for we will obey to the end and even with our lives. We praise thee, Hail Hitler, Führer, my Führer, given me by God. Protect and preserve my life for long. I thank you for my daily bread. Be with me for a long time. Do not leave me, Führer, my faith, my light, Hail, my Führer.
Hitler had his own church, his own Bible, and even his own hymn, sung every day in German schools.
Adolf Hitler ist unser Retter.
Understand what's his, I'm going to give you the words of the song as it's going. Adolf Hitler is our Savior and our Lord. And recently, of course, the president was introduced by an actor who says, our Savior and Lord.
That's right, I remember that.
And then the song's going to come up again. These are children singing in school. Listen. He is the noblest being in the whole wide world. Okay. For Hitler, we live. And understand, a teacher standing in front of the room with a chalkboard and a stick helping them sing this. Every school's saying this. Why do you think the government wants to take over education?
Wow.
Why do you think they don't want to take away homeschooling and they're trying to throw this German couple out saying that's not a reason for them to be able to come up with this religious persecution? Because they're saying if that thing stands, then homeschool stands and they won't be able to do these kind of things to our children. Listen up. I'm going to keep it. This is what children are singing in their classrooms. On behalf of Hitler, I'll read it back because it's German as it goes. For Hitler, we die. Our Hitler is our Lord, who rules a brave new world. Do you really want this government to take over our education system? Do you really want the National Education Association even to exist in the context of that? The founding fathers' original purposes was for the state to be able to be over education. Continue, listen. We're listening to God and Hitler and how he progressed, and it kind of brings in, hey, we better pay attention.
Now that Hitler had set up his own Reich religion, it was time to get rid of the competition. And while his persecution of the Jews was well known, his final solution for Christians remained a secret for more than four decades.
You have to understand, you're listening to VFN Radio. His final solution for Christians remained a secret. Church, wake up. You are not friends with Satan. And Satan does not, if you think you're playing around with sin and you have no, the goal of him is to destroy Satan. Destroy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy,
That's right.
Christians and Jews. Mm-hmm. Christians and Jews, which goes to show you that Christians and Jews are serving God. Let's listen up. This is Hitler's plan that's kept secret for 40 years, what he planned to do with the church. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called the Nazi Master Plan, the Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
The most important aspect of Christianity that Hitler ignored was the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That's a role Hitler preferred to take for himself. And even when he did mention Jesus, it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. For example, he refused to admit the fact that Jesus was Jewish.
So they didn't take any notice of John chapter 4, where the woman at the well said, how is it you being a Jew? And Jesus didn't say, hang on, I'm a Gentile. And then you find the genealogies in the book of Luke. They go right back through David, through to Abraham. So obviously they didn't believe the scriptures and they just made up their own Jesus.
The Jesus Hitler made up was an Aryan, whom he often referred to as the Nazarene. Adolf Hitler denied the deity of Christ and forced people to worship him as God. Then he killed or imprisoned hundreds of Christian pastors and hatched a detailed plan to destroy the church. If Adolf Hitler was a Christian, as many people suggest, then he wasn't a very good one.
If you are truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you're born again, you will have the evidence of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So if you haven't got love, you're not a Christian.
You've been listening to God and Hitler, a study done by Ray Comfort and Gordon Robinson of CBN. Listen, it's time for us to wake up. One thing we learn about history is history always repeats itself. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Does freedom of speech include all social topics and religious views? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
If people are allowed to write books about building illegal weapons and abusing children, which is very illegal, yet we can't express our opinions about being a Christian in school, is freedom of expression and freedom of speech not applying to Christianity?
Well, it does apply to Christianity, and you have the right to share your faith on campus, which gives you the ability to meet in these Bible clubs or to participate in events like See You at the Poll, or to have a prayer and Bible study going on during your lunch hour. You're allowed all of these rights under the Constitution, and no one is in a position to take those away. The only thing that can be put in place is what's called time, place, and manner restrictions. Those have to be very reasonable and very neutral. So if you have any difficulty in that arena, I want you to call our offices here at the ACLJ. We'll get you in touch with our legal department immediately.
For news and information on critical issues, visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring during that intro. When it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered. And if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. You can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, mm-hmm. he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. you know, but either way, it's for our generation, you know, and at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, mm-hmm. and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. Now, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, and especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. There's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Man, if you missed what we just play, we actually had Ray Comfort and Gordon Robinson from CBN, Pat Robinson's son. They did a intense, rapid look at God and Hitler. How did that all happen? And, you know, we got to get to the point that presently what's going on in our very faces is the same progression. Mm. Because some of the things I noticed when the interview, and you can listen to it, or that segment was, you know, where Gordon said, quote, a church member and a Christian are two different things. Because you have to understand that Hitler was a member of the church. Mm-hmm. And there's some people today that think, because somebody may have even convinced you, just become a member. This is what I heard. Just become a member. And one day, as if you can become a member of, anyway. And so one day it'll just happen. And you say the prayer, you say the prayer, and you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is done with conviction.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know. Anyway, so then he said his assistant or one of his whatevers was saying Catholics and Protestant church, the Catholic and Protestant churches must vanish from our people. You have to understand, he started as a choir boy in the Catholic Church. His entourage and himself was a progression. You have to first get a buy-in before you can get a kill-in. Mm-hmm. You have to first have people buy. And understand this, that up until the last moment when the Jews were being put into ghettos, taken to the concentration camps and trains, getting out of the trains to get onto the camps, and then going into what they perceived was a shower, but really was a gas chamber. Mm. They really, up until that one moment, they gave them the impression to that very last moment that everything was okay, and that they were just coming on in. You've been on the train, I'm sure, whatever. And they had people that had switched sides that were encouraging them as they were, so they would see a familiar face and they'd walk right in and the gas would come down and the Jew would be killed. Let me tell you something. That's what happened with Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he made a covenant with the Catholic Church. The Pope signed an agreement, what they're saying right here, according to that report, made an agreement with Hitler. This is pretty important because in a moment, we're going to continue on talking about this is reportedly the last pope, the Malachi prophecies, because we're talking about that. And we need to pay attention to this. And this present pope just reportedly is saying he's going to release the archives. And one of the things in those archives is going to be that agreement that was written between Hitler and the head of the Catholic Church. And Hitler was moving in the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was called the Aryan people. They were called the Aryan race. Well, what is that? You know, that same word, that's where the derivative of Iran comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Aryan. Aryan is where it comes the same, you know. That's and right. So that same spirit is right there on Ahmadinejad. And the leader is there, not necessarily the people, but the leader is there. And Satan is still trying to do what God won't let him do, destroy the church and destroy Israel. But understand, a lot of Jews were, 6 million Jews were killed. And many Christians were killed. And the church was, and this is another thing that was said, was that we need, it, once it progressed to a certain point, it, that we need to de-Christianize the church, de-Christianize the nation. And that's what's happening right now, America. They're trying to de-Christianize the America.
Yeah.
And it's real tough to do because our founding documents say that all of our rights come from God in the name of our Lord and the year of our Lord, you know, Jesus Christ. Think about it. It's like you got God and Jesus, and they're two parts of the Trinity, and they have to try to do away with our Constitution and understand this, that we need to stand up today because that is our future tomorrow if we don't do this. You heard in the first hour, they booed God.
Yeah.
They booed accepting God in their platform.
And the freedom of speech. I mean, here, he confiscated every single one of those Bibles and replaced it with his own Bible. Ripped out the Ten Commandments.
And wrote his own. He wrote added two. He wasn't even satisfied with 10 lies. He added two more lies in there. And it ended with oh my goodness. Listen, we are going in right now to the interview with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, where Sid Roth is interviewing him. And this is the fourth part of a 10-part interview. You got to hear this. This is our last pope, according to prophecies, what they're saying. And he will do the very same thing that this pope did with Hitler out there. Listen up.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I have on the telephone Tom Horn. Tom is co-author of the book we've been speaking about, Exo Vaticana. You're probably familiar with their best-selling book, which is called Petrus Romanus, and it's subtitled, The Final Pope is Here. Now, why did you jump, Tom, from the book about the final pope to a book about extraterrestrial things that the Catholic Church are involved in? What's the connection?
That's a great question. You know, we had last year we were doing shows on Petrus Romanus. We were making spectacular predictions based on all of our research. We actually went out on a limb and said Pope Benedict would not die in his office, but in fact he would abdicate the throne, and he would cite health reasons for doing so. And we even gave the dates, and we turned out to be extraordinarily correct, which of course then has kept our phone ringing off the hook. But what a lot of people don't know is that when we were doing shows on Petrus Romanus last year, several times we did shows in which the question also came up of the Vatican, what people call the Vatican ET connection. You know, why have leaders of the Vatican been out there talking about better, you know, chances being better than not that official disclosure of intelligent alien life is going to be made in the very near future? And then it also seemed like they were accommodating some of their theology to be able to embrace that reality. And so anytime we would bring that up, those shows would rocket to be the top shows in the world. We did one on Blog Talk Radio with a friend of mine, and we only talked about Petrus. That became the number one show in the world for 1 week. I came back a couple of weeks later, and we did a show on the Vatican ET connection, also tying it into some of these prophecies, and that became the number one talk show in the world for 6 weeks. And so what we started realizing is that what we had really only considered in the first book to just be a nominal issue, the public was connecting with it in a way that they seemed to understand or they were more interested in. The prophecy of the popes itself was maybe a bit more complex than the average individual could wrap their mind around or care about. But the idea, you know, that the Vatican spokesperson were out there saying official disclosure is coming soon and it's going to dramatically impact Christianity as we know it. Now, this is something people around the world could really kind of, you know, become alert to and wanted to know about. And so it just seemed the right thing to do, that we had to take the next step and do a thorough investigation. And the new book, Exo Vaticana, is actually even larger. It's over 600 pages in a 6x9 trim with almost 1,000 authoritative endnotes.
I think that when people find out your background, they're going to understand why God has handpicked you to be involved in this project. Now, you have been an Assembly of God pastor for over 25 years. Tell me a bit about a year after you came to the Lord, what happened to you?
Well, this truly was a supernatural event. And I was a very young Christian. I was so sincerely seeking the Lord, Sid. I mean, I would go to work, and I did my job like I was supposed to do. But, you know, I was in the union, so we got breaks every 2 hours. We got a 15-minute break. And every time I got a break, I would be in the back room of this building in the dark on my knees just seeking God so passionately, wanting to be used by God. And one night, something very supernatural did, in fact, occur. In that I went to bed with my wife. The next thing I know, I'm standing in front of just what is brilliant, just this brilliant light that I can't even explain. I can't say that I saw a form or an outline or something like that, but what I knew in my mind was that I was standing before the throne of God. And he had told me something. The Lord had told me something. But now he had said, it is time now for you to return, and you won't remember what I've told you. Well, my rational mind kicked in, right? And I started saying, but Lord, wait a minute. This is too great. This is too wonderful. Please don't let me forget. And I started dropping. I started falling backwards. And this was very, very real to me. At that moment, this was happening. And I could see heaven kind of departing very quickly, as if you had fallen out of an airplane and you were following with your face up towards the sky. It was all moving away from me very quickly. And all of a sudden, I saw the roof of my house go around me. I just went through it, and it went around me, and I hit the bed. And at that moment, Sid, I breathed in very deeply. I went, and I literally sat up in bed. Now, I was awake. I was really awake, and I was sitting there. And I heard my wife just bawling her eyes out. And I turned and I looked, and here was my wife, Nita, sitting in the bed next to me, and she was just crying and crying. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And as the moments unfolded, she explained to me that she had woke up in the middle of the night, and I was dead as a doornail. I had no breath. I had no pulse. In fact, my body was already cold, and she was shaking me and beating on me. And this went on for maybe 10 minutes. I was completely unaware that it was even happening. So I was quite literally dead. And she was beating on my chest. She finally gave up. She was just about to crawl out of bed and dial 911 and tell everybody their husband died, when suddenly I woke up and I came out of it, and my heart started beating again. Nothing like that has ever happened since that time. And I've always known, Sid, that the Lord allowed that to happen, for my wife to wake up and find me in that condition, so that I would never doubt the fact that this was a supernatural event. Otherwise, you know how it is. Time goes by, and after a while, the enemy comes in, and he starts telling you, well, you ate too many chili beans or something. You know, it wasn't real. But the Lord allowed her to find me in that condition, and for so many minutes that it was beyond the fact that it could have been coincidental. But then what happened was I went to my pastor, and he really kind of, well, first of all, he didn't know how to deal with it. I was looking for an answer. My question was this: why in the world, if this came from God, and I believe it did, why would God tell me anything and then allow me to forget it? That just didn't make any sense, right? And so my pastor didn't get it either. But I happened to be reading through the Bible. This was the first time in my life. I was a young Christian. I was reading through the Bible, and I happened to be in the book of Job when all of a sudden my eyes fell on this place in Job where it says, in the nighttime, in deep sleep, in slumberings upon the bed, then God seals the instructions of the righteous within them to hide pride from man. And I saw that verse, and I mean, here I'm a young Christian. I don't know anything really about theology, but the light just went on that whatever this was, God had sealed these instructions within me. And when the times were right, down through life, if I continued to commit myself to the Lord, whenever I was sincerely seeking whether I should go left, whether I should go right, what should I do, God had sealed this information within me. And when the time was right, he would let me know. Now, that little part on the end that says to hide pride from man, I really got that later in life. That is, as a very young believer, I would have made two mistakes if I had known where God was going to take me. First of all, if I had known I was going to pastor, you know, very large churches, actually, for 25 years, be an executive in the largest evangelical institution in the world, see myself on television and preaching and going to these large conferences and speaking. If I had saw that as a young Christian, two mistakes. One, I certainly could have been lifted up with pride, and that's what that text says, that he does that to hide pride from man, to keep us from our errors. And secondly, I would have just made a beeline towards the end game. I mean, I would have just aimed right at whatever I thought God wanted me to do, and I would not have gone through all those very important lessons, the hard lessons and the good lessons that you learn that temper your steel, your metal, as a believer.
Right? And let me tell you, you have to have your metal tempered with what you're tackling right now. I mean, I don't think you realize how huge this is, this Exo-Vaticana. But I also see that you had some personal stories with relatives having to do with aliens.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, for the first time in this book, Exo Vaticana, I am telling a very large part of one of the biggest secrets that has to do with part of my family. It's a secret. I've kept it buried my entire adult life. It's remained sealed partly due to actually a binding agreement, a settlement between members of my family, state authorities, and federal investigators. And part of this has to do with a family member who was a nuclear physicist with the uppermost security clearance doing research in a nuclear and biological warfare at General Atomics in San Diego, California. And at one point, he was transferred from General Atomics to Los Alamos National Laboratory in northern New Mexico, where he was involved with a top-secret project, the details of which my family was oblivious to. Of course, that's the same facility that was founded during World War II as a covert laboratory to coordinate the Manhattan Project, right? The Allied undertaking to develop the first nuclear weapons. But sinisterly, it's also been connected to an alleged secret alien underground facility beneath the Archuleta Mesa on the New Mexico border near Dulles. It's been connected to genetic experiments on humans, UFOs, even the claim that five alien bodies, extraterrestrial biological entities, had been recovered from 1947 at the Roswell crash site and then sent to a safe house there at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. So it has all that history. But it was during that time, while he was conducting top-secret research with the U.S. government at Los Alamos, that one night he came home. Now, at that time, you have to realize that none of these people were living Christian lives. I was the only one at that time in my family that was a Christian. And he came home, and under the influence of alcohol, he stated that the laboratory where he was working was involved with the so-called alien agenda.
You can't possibly understand end times
without these two books. They document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, The Last Pope, is the first book, hidden in Vatican libraries 900 years ago. There was a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, literally just off the press, not available in bookstores exclusively with our ministry, is called Exo Vaticano. It documents the Vatican plans for arrival of an alien god with a small g from another planet and complete reevaluation of Christianity from the Vatican. Both books available for a gift of $35. I'm interrupting this telecast with a special announcement. We have a new pope, St. Francis. According to the Malachi prophecy, he had to be a Roman. Did you know that this new pope's parents were from Italy? Roman? Not only that, he's the first Jesuit to ever be pope. And as you've just heard, the Jesuits are involved with the aliens.
You just listened to Sid Roth interview Tim about his book, and it is the fourth part, by the way, of understanding this, the times that we're in. Somebody says, well, is that possible? Well, if you go back and listen to the previous segments that we've already had, we biblically talk about the scriptures that he's talking about, and obviously it's in his book as well. But in that, that when you put all this together and you look at how the Pope during the days of Hitler signed a covenant and agreement with Hitler, who was going to persecute the church and the Jews, and he hoodwinked the church. He hoodwinked them. He was planning on burning all the Bibles and writing his own. As a matter of fact, he did do that there and wrote his own and ripped out the Ten Commandments and wrote 12 commandments. I mean, he wouldn't even satisfy with 10. Mm-hmm. And the goal, of course, you have to understand, don't think about men. Think about Ephesians chapter 6. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, principalities, dark spirits. Understand this, that they actually have permission from an individual, and we give permission to them because God's given each of us authority. Through sin, if we walk around in open sin, we are totally open to the control of the adversary in our life. If we're even if we're Christians, but we walk around and are in open sin, that's an open door, and the enemy can take you and use you for his purposes. Somebody says it's not true. Well, why did Jesus say to Peter when Peter was taken over at that moment with sin and said, "Don't go to Jerusalem"? Jesus said, "Peter, let's talk about this a little bit." That's not what he said. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because he said that your tongue has been set. He says, this is what James, the brother of Jesus, said. He says, the tongue is set on fire by hell. And so the words we speak, everything, that all these words, look at the power of words and the power of speech. People go, "That's a great speech. That's not a big deal. It's just a speech." Well, sad to say, that's how easy it is to change things. You just give a good speech and people go, they just buy into it. And, my goodness. So here we are listening to the fourth of the 10 interviews, Sid Roth, with a deep understanding of the Malachi prophecies. He's interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, and we're seeing firsthand that's a doable thing. It is a doable thing. It's been done in the past, and it looks like it's going to be used again. But this time, by the way, it appears, based on what we're hearing, based on what we're seeing, the convergence. You can listen to Wednesday's Word on broadcast on VFN Radio, that it's just converging. Whether you like it or not, it's happening in your generation and our generation, and we don't want to buy in to the adversary's destruction of the church. Listen, this is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said, this is the study that you heard on VFN Radio, the second segment, VFN Radio, was that Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and hopefully it'll be a link on this post right here if you're watching, listen to this on VFN, off the VFN Torch. But as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. That'll be a part of this post, I'm sure, on the VFN Torch if you're hearing it off of that as well. Look down, related articles. This is so important. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.